Title: Tape His Placement in the Mix from Scratch with Live 12 Stock Packs Advanced. Alright, let's get into one of those details that feels optional until you hear a mix that nails it. Tape Hiss. In drum and bass, tape hiss is not just noise for nostalgia. It's a controlled layer of texture that can glue drums and bass into a believable space, add motion to the high end, and make edits feel less DAW clean. But if you place it wrong, it turns into harsh fizz, it steals headroom, and it fights the exact stuff you need to punch, hats, snare crack, and the stereo image. Today you're building a full tape hiss system from scratch using only Ableton Live 12 stock devices and stock instruments. Then we're going to place it strategically in a DNB mix, a global hiss bed, a drum reactive hiss for break realism, and a transition hiss for tension and DJ-friendly phrasing. We're also doing the advanced part, mid-side placement and band limiting so the hiss lives in the sides and the air not in your mono core. Before we touch any hiss, quick session reality check. If your kick and snare are already messy or your hats are already a wall of white noise, hiss won't fix it. Make sure your bass is controlled and basically mono below around 120 Hz. Your master has headroom, and you're not clipping. Aim to peak around -6 dB FS pre-limiting. Think of hiss as seasoning. If the meal is raw, seasoning doesn't save it. Now, step 1. Create tape hiss from scratch. Create a new MIDI track and name it Hiss BDD. We're using MIDI on purpose because it makes the noise performable. You can automate it like an instrument, you can gate it with rhythm, and you can manage sections cleanly. Load operator. In operator, turn oscillator down to minus infinity, basically off. Then go to the noise section. Operator has a noise generator built in, and this is perfect because it's consistent and controllable. Set the noise color slightly on the brighter side, but don't go crazy yet. We'll shape it after. Create a MIDI clip with one long note held for the entire arrangement. Something like C3, but the pitch isn't the point. It's just how operator stays on. Alternative if you want faster vibe, analog. Analog has a noise source too, and it can feel a bit more hardware-ish. But operator is the cleanest, most controllable starting point, so we'll stick with that for the main build. Step 2. Band limit it like real tape. Raw noise is not tape hiss. Raw noise is an air conditioner moved into your mix. Tape hiss is shaped. On your hiss BED track, drop an EQ8 first. High pass it hard. Use a 24 dB per octave high pass somewhere around 250 to 400 Hz. If your track is bass heavy or already warm, push that cutoff higher. This is non-negotiable. Low and low mid hiss will cloud your bass and make the whole mix feel weak. Then, do a gentle dip around 3 to 6 kHz if it starts fighting snare crack or vocal chops. 2 to 4 dB is often enough. Teacher tip. 2 to 4 kHz is forwardness territory. If the hiss feels like it's sitting on the speaker instead of behind the music, that area is usually why. Now low pass it. Try a 12 dB per octave low pass around 12 to 16 kHz. If you leave hiss wide open to 20k, it tends to become brittle digital air, and it will absolutely make your limiter sound grainy later. Optional, but highly recommended. Add auto filter next for movement. Set it to low pass mode. Cut off around 10 to 14 kHz. Turn the envelope off. Use the LFO with a very small amount, like 5 to 12%, and a slow rate, around 0.05 to 0.15 Hz. That's slow enough to feel like breathing, not wobbling. Set phase around 180, so it's not doing a super obvious left-right lurch. Then add saturator. This is where it stops feeling like sterile white noise and starts feeling like a physical medium. Use soft sine or analog clip. Drive somewhere between 1 and 4 dB, soft clip on, and then trim the output so you're not tricking yourself with loudness. The goal is texture and density, not volume. Quick coach note, if you want cassette edge without shredding your hats, put saturator before your final low pass stage. Drive it a bit harder than normal, then low pass after to catch the fizzy harmonics. Density, without the brittle top. Step 3. Place it in the stereo field and protect the center. In DNB, the center channel is sacred. Kick, snare body, bass fundamentals, most of that lives in mono, and that's why it hits hard on big systems. If you put hiss straight down the middle, you mask that punch and your mix gets smaller. Add utility after saturator. Increase width to something like 140 to 180%. Then enable bass mono around 120 to 200 Hz. That ensures any leftover low-ish energy in the hiss is not messing with your mono low end. Now the advanced move. EQ8 in mid-side mode. Set EQ8 to M/S. On the mid-channel, do a gentle high shelf down, maybe minus 1 to minus 3 dB above 8 kHz. On the side channel, you can allow a touch more air, like +1 to +2 dB above 10 kHz. That's how you get the vibe around the speakers, while keeping the groove center clean. And one more advanced check. Don't just check mono, check correlation. Super wide hiss can go facey and start swimming when summed. If your hiss disappears weirdly in mono, reduce width, or put a little more of the band-limited hiss into the mid above 9 or 10 kHz only, so it stays stable. Step 4. Level it like a pro. The barely there rule. Here is the method. Solo drums and bass. Bring the hiss up until you clearly hear it. Then pull it down 6 to 10 dB. Your goal is, when it's on, you don't think I hear hiss. You think this feels more together. And when you mute it, you go oh it got flatter. If you need a ballpark, hiss often ends up somewhere like minus 30 to minus 18 dB FS RMS-ish depending on how dense the track is. But don't chase numbers. Numbers won't tell you if it's masking snare snap. Extra coach trick. Place hiss relative to the luff slope, not a static level. In an intro, hiss is easier to hear. In a drop, masking increases and your perceived hiss changes. A practical move is to set the hiss so it's audible in the intro or halftime section, then automate it down 1 to 2 dB in the drop, or duck it a little harder, so it doesn't lift the ceiling of your high end when the track gets dense. Step 5. Make drum-focused hiss for break realism. Duplicate hiss BED and rename it drum hiss. Change its tone so it reads like break air, not general noise. In EQ 8, high pass higher, somewhere around 500 to 900 Hz. You can add a small bump around 8 to 10 kHz if you want that classic old break top. But be careful, that's also where harsh hats love to live. Now add gate after the EQ, and turn on sidechain inside the gate. Set the sidechain input to your drum bus, or your break group, whatever represents the full drum movement. Set the threshold so the gate opens on hats and snare, but doesn't stay open constantly. Attack around 1 to 5 milliseconds. Hold around 20 to 60 milliseconds. Release around 80 to 200 milliseconds. Floor to minus infinity, if you want it to disappear between hits, or around minus 20 dB if you want continuity without it feeling chopped. This is the key. The hiss now grooves with your drums. It moves like it's part of the break print, and edits feel less surgical. If you don't like the obvious opening and closing, you can do a softer version, using sidechain compression instead of gating. Or, another advanced option, use autopan as a rhythmic amplitude modulator. Set phase to 0 degrees so it's not panning, it's volume movement. Amount 10 to 25%, sync to 1/8 or 1/16. Then lightly sidechain duck it from kick and snare. That gives you movement that feels like sampling artifacts rather than a gate. Step 6. Put hiss in the room, but keep it controlled. Create a return track called hiss space. Put reverb on it. Decay around 0.8 to 1.8 seconds. Pre-delay 0 to 10 milliseconds. And make it dark. High cut around 6 to 9 kHz. Low cut around 400 to 800 Hz. Then send a little of drum hiss to hiss space, like minus 25 to minus 15 dB send. Distance cue tip. If the hiss feels too forward, don't only lower it. Try a tiny pre-delay on the reverb, like 5 to 15 milliseconds, so the hiss sits behind transients. Also consider slightly slower attack on your gate or ducking, so the hiss doesn't bite right at the start of a drum hit. Step 7. Transition hiss for tension and contrast. Duplicate hiss BED again and rename it transition hiss. Put auto filter on it. Use high pass or band pass depending on the vibe. Then automate the cutoff opening into drops. You can also automate the track volume up a couple dB into the drop, but here's the classic DNB trick. One beat, or even half a beat before the drop, hard mute the transition hiss. That silence makes the drop hit feel larger. If you want extra sci-fi jungle tension, add echo. Use 1/8 or 1/4 timing, low feedback like 10 to 25%. Keep the echo filter dark, and mix low, 5 to 15%. The goal is ghost energy. Not audible repeats. Arrangement upgrade trick. Pre-drop contrast. Automate hiss to get narrower and darker about 4 bars before the drop. Then on the drop snap it wider and brighter but slightly lower in level. It sounds backwards, but perceptually the drop feels bigger because the stereo air feel changes even if the hiss is quieter. Step 8. Glue it without ruining transients or your master detector. Hiss can accidentally trigger compression or limiting, especially if you're mastering loud and your chain reacts to high frequency energy. That can turn into grainy top end fast. Two approaches. Approach A. Keep hiss independent. Route hiss tracks straight to the master and control them gently on their own. If needed, add a limiter on the hiss track only, just catching peaks. Usually you won't need much. Approach B. duck hiss intentionally, classic DNB style. On hiss bid and or drum hiss, add compressor with side chain from the kick and snare bus, or full drums. Ratio 2:1:4:1, attack 1 to 10 milliseconds, release 80 to 200 milliseconds. Aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on hits. Now the hiss fills gaps but gets out of the way when impact happens. Advanced Loudmaster workflow tip. If your master chain is very sensitive, you can route music to a pre-master bus, process it, and then add hiss very quietly after that processing, right before the final limiter, only if your workflow allows it. The point is, don't let constant HF noise decide how hard your limiter works. Step 9. Final safety checks. Translation and harshness. Toggle the hiss tracks on and off at low monitoring volume. If you only hear the benefit when it's loud, it's too loud. Check mono quickly by putting utility on the master and setting width to 0% for a moment. If the hiss disappears completely in mono, you went too wide. Reduce width or allow a little more in the mid, especially above 9 to 10 kHz. Now use hiss as a diagnostic tool. This is a great advanced habit. Temporarily turn the hiss up too loud on purpose. If the mix suddenly feels brittle, that's a clue you already have resonant spikes, usually in 7 to 10 kHz from hats, or 3 to 5 kHz from snare edge. Tweep a narrow dip with EQ8 on the drum bus to find the painful zone quickly. Then put the hiss back to subtle. You're not fixing it with hiss. You're using hiss like a spectral flashlight to reveal what's already sharp. Common mistakes to avoid as you do this. Don't leave hiss energy in the 100 to 500 Hz zone. That's instant cloud. Don't overdo 10 to 16 kHz. That's where hiss fights hats and makes limiters gritty. Don't keep it centered in mono. You'll mask snare body and vocal presence. And don't forget automation. Constant hiss can flatten your drop. DNB is tension and release. Mini practice exercise, 15 minutes. Build a simple rolling loop. Kick on 1 and the end of 2. Snare on 2 and 4. 16th hats, a shuffle element, and a reese or rolling sub. Build hiss BDD with operator noise. High pass around 300 Hz, low pass around 14 kHz, saturator drive about 2 dB, utility width around 160. This audio version is shortened for playback.